Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I got pictures for you this evening. I don't want to bore you with my vacation pictures, but I do have about, I counted, 167. Can we dim the lights up here or turn those lights off for a second? It's just a few. And the reason I'm showing you this is, how many of you have ever watched the program Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Just about everybody. That's one of them places right there. We stopped at this little cow town to spend the night in Oklahoma on our way down there, and we asked the girl at the desk of the motel, you know, it's just a little, I don't even remember the name of the town, but we said, is there a good place to eat around here? She said, how about a diner, drive-in, or dive? I said, really? She said, right down the road. And their specialty, you'd expect this at this kind of place, their specialty was chicken fried steak. That's worth shouting about. All right, next. How many of you have been to the world's largest truck stop on I-80? A secret y'all don't know about me, I love truck stops. Right, Sharon? I love truck stops. And we were going down I-80, and I didn't need to stop, but I just saw this sign, world's largest truck stop. We got to go see this. Jackie, you've been there on I-80 out in Iowa? They have a food court there. A food, like you see in a mall, and they have like a mini mall. It's like the coolest place. So anyway, enough about that. Next. Nana and the grandkids. What do you do in North Texas on a hot summer day? Can you see what those are? Snow cones. Don't get any better than Nana with the grandbabies eating snow cones out in the park. All righty. Next, please. Can you see? Remember I told you when I was going, before we left, that's Abraham. His middle name is Glenn, by the way. Abraham told me, he said, Papa, I need he calls them hockey-talkies. He said, Papa, I need hockey. Can you see what's on his pants leg right there? That's one of his hockey-talkies. And one of the best buys we've ever made in our life, him and those hockey-talkies. All righty, next please. I don't know what's coming. There's those cars I was telling you about. How many of you have been there? There's a few of you. Deb, you've been there? Yeah, it's nothing to see, but everybody stops, you know. But the couple here on the left is the one that I told you that we met, and we asked him to take our picture. And I thought Jeremy said something about him wearing an Ohio State shirt. Well, he's not. He's wearing an Arizona shirt because he was bringing his daughter to college in Arizona. But, you know, we asked him to take our picture and found out that he's got kinfolk in Fairview and that he's preached at Barrack Hill. And so I said, well, now I got to take your picture. So we took his picture. All righty. The rodeo parade. The biggest thing to happen at Dalhart's probably the size of West Branch, I would say. Probably about the size of West Branch. And the biggest thing that happens every year is the rodeo. And folks, these ain't folks dressing up playing cowboys. This is the real deal. And that parade started, and it ran. And this is a small town parade, but show what a big deal this is. That parade ran for an hour and a half. I mean, those kids went home with more candy, you know, because everybody threw candy out. So that was one of, you know, they got the stagecoach, and next we got some just cowboy. You know, these are salt-of-the-earth people out in Texas for the most part. You know, I mean, there's exceptions. There's bad people everywhere. But these are hardworking people. These are people, you know, their handshake is their bond. Very patriotic people. You know, very, very patriotic. And, you know, it was very evident in the parade. This, I don't know if you can tell, this is kind of a shanty with serving shelves there. Before the rodeo, they have what is the world's largest free barbecue. Totally free. There's a park that surrounds the rodeo arena, And there must be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people that come, and you go down that line there, they serve your plate with, on Friday night, it's pork chops, and on Saturday night, it's brisket, and they cook the brisket in burlap sacks. They dig a trench about 4 foot wide, 6 feet deep, about 80 feet long, and they pile wood in it, and they burn it down. They throw the brisket down in the trench, cover it up, and bring it up about 36 hours later, and it's cooked perfectly. And it's free, you know, and you can go through that line as many times as you want to. And it's quite the event, and it's billed as the world's largest free barbecue. So next August, if you want a free meal, you know, just head on down there. All right, Velvet. And that's just, you know, one of the scenes from the rodeo. And like I said, they're patriotic folks. And it is inspiring. They put a big emphasis. They prayed before the rodeo and talked about their love for their country. And good folks down in Texas there. And next, what do we have here? That's where we, 41 years ago, my mom and dad took Sharon and I, right after we got married, up to Estes Park, Colorado. And we stayed in these little cottages. And when we determined that we were going to go down to Texas, I said, I'd like for us to have just a couple days for just us to get away, a real vacation, just the two of us to do what we want as we please, or if we don't want to do anything, we won't do anything. I said, I wonder if I can find those cottages. I wonder if they're still there, because they were old when we were there 41 years ago. And you can see that's the original sign there. So I went online, and I was just Googling cottages in Estes Park, and when I saw the name Loveland Heights, I said, That is it, and they're still there. And again, it's stepping back in history. That's an old, what do you call that kind of sign? Neon. You know, neon sign is just cool. It's like you're going back in history there. All right, Miss Velvet. And that's the little cottage we stayed in. It's not the, we stayed in a different one 41 years ago, but that's the one they put us in this time. And then next, Miss Velvet, that's the stream right behind our deck. Now, when we went there 41 years ago, that was a trickling little brook. And this I gotta admit this. I was a little nervous our whole stay there, because you really can't tell there. It wasn't a little trickling stream while we were there. It was a torrent of water, because it had rained a lot up there. And you say, so what? Well, so what is that cabin has flooded three times, and because 2 miles upstream is a man-made earthen dam that has burst several times. So I kind of slept with one eye open all night. Then I thought, okay, if it bursts, what am I going to be able to do? And it flows through a canyon there, and you can see that's rock right up there. I mean, that's a steep wall. Those trees are going almost straight up there, and you got the creek, you got the cabins, you got the road, you got a house or two on the other side, and then you got another steep wall. So I guess if you do get some warning, you just climb up the side of the walls there. And let's see what else we got here. You can't see that. That's just part of Rocky Mountain National Park, a beautiful place. If you've never been there, you know, when you get out, you can't help but be drawn closer to God when you're in God's creation. But, you know, that can happen here in Michigan, too. You know, as we've gotten back, Sharon and I have commented several times, you know, no, we don't have the snow-capped mountains and what have you, but we have plenty of God's beautiful creation around here that we all can appreciate. So that's it for the pictures from the trip, and I appreciate you letting me share that with you. All right, we're studying through the book of Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. And we're asking the question tonight, are you an easy target? And that's what Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23 talks about. Talks about people then being easy targets. So as we think about Colossians 2, 23 and being an easy target, how should we begin this evening? How should we begin such a very important theological topic? How should we do this? I tell you what, let's talk about Glenn Campbell. I'm serious. You say, what in the world is Glenn Campbell? Well, it's going to make perfect sense to you. I'm reading from an article. Glenn Campbell, you know, he just passed away. And if you're in our age bracket, you grew up with Glenn Campbell, right? I mean, that's just, he was very popular when we were younger and have been through our lives. Glenn Campbell, the country music star, you're going to see where I'm going with this. I haven't lost my mind completely. Glenn Campbell, the country music star who died at 81 on last Tuesday from Alzheimer's, grew up in rural Arkansas. The man who sang the hits was raised a Baptist in a family of 12. But as the Jewish Journal pointed out, Reuters reported in 2008 that Campbell had been a Messianic Jew for the last two decades of his life. Now you see where I'm going with this? See, there's a method to the madness. He and his wife Kim attended services at the synagogue near their home in Malibu, and they celebrated major Jewish holidays such as Passover, Rosh Hashanah, and Hanukkah. Glenn Campbell, the country music star who died at 81, was raised a Baptist. I already read that. Messianic Judaism, this is what he was, or what he practiced, combines Jewish traditions with the idea that Jesus Christ is the coming Messiah. It's Jews who believe that Christ is the risen Savior, as Campbell explained to Reuters. Some Messianic Jews want the movement to be accepted as a sect of Judaism, but mainstream Jewish movements believe the ideology is a contradiction. And lastly, it says, amid the jarring juxtapositions, Campbell reveals that he and his wife Kim attended the local synagogue every Saturday and celebrate Jewish holidays such as, again, Passover, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, as well as Christmas. So that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. This is a story, I believe, probably of a well-meaning man, though sadly mixing truth with error. He is combining Christianity with Judaism. He is on the one hand believing in Jesus Christ, but on the other hand, he is holding on to some of the traditions of the Old Testament law. He may have been, it appears, an easy target for a false teacher. And that is very sad. Because what he believed, had he known Scripture, hint, hint, he would not have gone that route. Because the Bible's very clear. Let me share just a few verses. Romans 6:14. Had he known these verses, it might have helped him lead a better life. Certainly been a better witness if he did proclaim Christ. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You can't say it any clearer. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't say it any clearer. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Of course, talking about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's sad to say that apparently Glenn Campbell must have been an easy target when it came to mixing truth with error. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Is it possible that you or someone you love could be vulnerable also? Could you be an easy target? This has been a problem from the beginning of the church. There have been false prophets. That's what Paul is dealing with these Colossians. There have been false prophets since then. There are false prophets today. Just turn on your TV and just sample some of the nonsense that's being taught and preached on TV or on the radio. People contradicting one another. Preachers or people claiming to be preachers saying things that contradict one another. You know, somebody's got to be wrong here. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23, Paul is dealing with this very issue because as the under-shepherd of this flock, I would be heartsick to know that maybe one of you might be led astray to believe something that is not right. And if you believe that, then you think that we are wrong, and then it leads you away. And that, there's nothing much more heartbreaking for a pastor. What does Paul tell these folks in Colossians chapter 2? Because we've known from our previous lessons up to this point that that is a major issue of why he wrote that. That's why they came to him. You know, we got false teachers, and some people are falling for it. And it's creating problems in the church. So Paul continues to deal with that issue in verse number 16. Paul tells them, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Verse 18. He says, "Let no man beguile you." Don't let any man trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Verse 20. "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, such as touch not, taste not, handle not?" And then he concludes, verse 22, "which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Now, I read that as a complete passage. Now, let's break it down verse by verse so that we have a proper understanding. We know what it says. Now, we want to know what it means, and then we want to know, how does it apply to me? So we know what it says. Okay, let's look at what it means. Let's go back through these verses one at a time. In verse number 16, he says this, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." And what he is saying there is, don't let any man pass judgment over you, trying to intimidate you to follow their spiritual rules and regulations that have been fulfilled in Christ and are in the past. That's what he's saying there, if I can just summarize. He's saying, you know, don't let these people intimidate you. Don't let them judge you. Say, you need to be observing this, you need to be observing that. All of which, in this case, is part of the Old Testament law. He's telling them, don't let them judge you like that. Don't be intimidated by that judgment. And then in verse number 17, he explains about the Old Testament law, that some of the Jews, you know, they're struggling, they're transitioning. I understand their struggle. You know, for centuries they've been following the law. Jesus comes and fulfills the law, and now they're transitioning to the point where, you know, we're not under the law anymore. And some of them had problems with that. Some of them wanted to accept Jesus. They wanted to have it both ways. You know, and that's where the false teachers come in. They're teaching, you know, we can't forget the Old Testament law. And Paul, who is the authority, said, yes, you can. And yes, you must. So I have some sympathy for their struggle. And Paul explains in verse number 17, those things which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul tells them that these things they're emphasizing, these rituals, are shadows. And that the reality of what those shadows represented are found in Christ. Those were just shadows, kind of showing us where to go and emphasizing our sinful nature, emphasizing the fact that we need a Savior, and that Savior would be in Christ. Well, we have Him now, so we don't need those shadows anymore. And then he says in verse number 18, "Let no man beguile you." We've got to be wary of men. Not all men are well-meaning. Not all men know what they're talking about. There are men who are deceivers. There are women who are deceivers. So look at what he says. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now there's a lot there that we're going to focus on in just a second. We're going to focus on this verse. But let's just emphasize what the emphasis is here. He is telling them, don't let any man lead you astray from the rewards found in Christ. Be wary. Well, how can you make sure that I'm not being led astray? Or how can I know that somebody is trying to lead me astray? We'll show you that in just a second. And again, in verse number 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. He is explaining that the problem with these false teachers is they're not submitting to the headship of Christ and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered. That's the problem. They are diverting people from their faith in Christ and what he taught and what he authorized to be taught through the apostles. They are subverting that to the teachings of men. Men that are putting their own ideas first. In verse number 20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Again, the key to not being led astray is to be grounded in Christ. Not rules and regulations that are originating in the world or originating in some man's imagination. And then in verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. What he's saying there is be careful, because these men, if you follow them, all those man-made ordinances are coming to nothing. They're of no value to you. It is just leading you down an empty path that is not going to be fulfilling, rewarding, or blessed of God. And again, I point out to you, this is what preachers are supposed to do. I mean, he is warning them. He's not trying. Paul here is not saying, well, you know, let's show them love. Let's hear them out. That's not what a shepherd is for. A shepherd is to warn the flock. And you can't send an uncertain message. And Paul is not sending an uncertain message. And neither should I send an uncertain message. I think there are a lot of guys in these last days who are like that. They're not watchmen on the walls. They're just, let's get a crowd and put money in the plate and I'll live high on the hog. There's a lot of guys that are doing that today. And then lastly, again, in verse number 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You read the theologians and the commentators, they will tell you that's a very challenging verse. But I think, in essence, what it's saying there is what false teachers teach can have the appearance of wisdom, humility, and self-sacrifice, but have no value in really helping you curb your flesh, getting victory over the flesh. So the primary emphasis of this letter to the Colossians was Paul's concern with them being led astray and believing things that were not to their benefit and could ruin them of their reward, not ruin them of their salvation, because once you're saved, you're saved. But it can take blessings away from you. So understand, contained within this passage are indications you may be an easy target for false teachers. So you need to know if you in this room tonight could be easy prey for false teacher. Well, I think we are given some indication into verse number 18 of that passage as to the kinds of people that might be susceptible. There are some people in this room, no way. You know what you believe, you know why you believe it. And, you know, every Jehovah's Witness in the world can knock on your door, every Roman Catholic friend can try to convince you. Or whatever the case may be, Messianic Jews, whatever, you know, you're grounded. But it could be that you're vulnerable. And and as I share these four points with you, and again, this isn't exhaustive. This is just what we're reading here in this one verse. But as we read this, chances are you may know somebody who started well and they've deviated from the truth because they have come under the influence of some neighbor, some TV preacher, some radio preacher. And when we read some of these points, you'll say, you know what, that describes them. I see now why they're vulnerable. We're focusing on verse number 18. You may be, number one, an easy target for false teachers if you are easily swayed by emotion. There's some people that are just emotional. I can be emotional. I mean, at the rodeo parade, we went to this play about Texas in an amphitheater in the Paladuro Canyon south of Amarillo, a big amphitheater, and they did this big, at the end, they did this big patriotic program. I mean, they had a cowboy riding across the stage with a horse and the American flag. They had jets of water shooting 150 feet into the air, red, white, and blue. They had fireworks going off. They were singing God Bless America, all these cowboys and cowgirls. And, you know, I looked the other way so Sharon can't see me. And she'd say, what's the matter? I got something in my eye. I got something in my eye. That's what it is. Some people are emotional. And false teachers can prey on that. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward. How? In a voluntary humility. You're so nice. They gotta be telling me the truth. Look at their humility. That's what he's talking about. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Them being humble are telling you, you need to be humble and listen to us. That's an appeal to our emotions. That's not, humility is something that you exude, and it's something that somebody feels. And if you're not careful, you can be swayed by emotions. A TV preacher getting up there, there's some that are just masters at playing with people's emotions. I mean, they know the right music at the right time. Oh, that can be a huge, huge influence on people. And they know how to bring a crowd up, and they know how to bring a crowd down. So, if somebody is more swayed by emotion than the facts of God's word, that person could be vulnerable. That person could be an easy target if somebody plays on their emotions. Number two, in verse number 18, you may be an easy target for false teachers if you are easily enamored with angels. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Okay, the Lord, through Paul, is emphasizing the humility aspect here. Because that can influence us. They're so nice. They're so kind. They're so generous. Yeah, but are they speaking the truth? But then he says, worshiping of angels. Now, angels are real, and angels are important. But nowhere are we called upon to worship angels. But there are some people, and you probably know some, that are just enamored with angels. Enamored with angels, statues of angels, pictures of angels. And I have an angel that guards me, and this angel talks to me. And, any of you ever met some people like that? They just tend to be enamored with this whole thing of angels. Well, they know that. False teachers know that. And that's what he's talking about there. So if that's something, if somebody comes along, you just got this curiosity about angels, and for some reason you're enamored with angels, and somebody comes along and says, guess what, an angel talked to me last night, and an angel told me, and you're, really? I knew it was true. And again, based on God's word? Well, no. And you see where we're going with that. Number three, you may be an easy target for false teachers if you're easily impressed with the supernatural. In that same verse, he then says, and those things which he hath not seen. Oh no, nobody's seen it, but we know it exists. It's out in the spiritual world, and they're telling them things that nobody can confirm because you can't see it, but maybe they've seen it. But you can't see it. Things which he hath not seen. And again, there are people that are enamored with that. It seems to be a natural curiosity. How many kids get to be teenagers and they're just so overtaken and impressed with Ouija boards and that kind of stuff. There's a side of our flesh that just gravitates towards that, and no doubt false prophets understand that. Or number four, you may be an easy target for false teachers if you're easily influenced by their self-confidence and their faux authority. I came up with that myself, faux authority. I thought that was pretty good. False authority. They give you the impression that they are authority. Look at what it says. Of those people, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's the bottom line of these false teachers. Oh, they may talk a good talk. They may be able to amaze you with the spooky, weird stories. They may have a wonderful, humble personality that just draws you in. But bottom line is, they're vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And because these people are effective, Paul has to write to them. You know, you don't have to warn somebody about something that's not a threat. At our house, nobody needs to warn me about a dam bursting in my house flooding, okay? Because that's not a threat. But in that canyon, Big Thompson Creek Canyon, where there's 2 miles upstream, this big reservoir held back by an earthen dam, you know, yeah, that's a good warning. You know, in fact, as we were driving out, there were these signs. I should have stopped and taken a picture. You know what I'm going to say? There were these signs there that I laughed at. It, you know, because you're in a canyon with steep sides, okay? And, you know, at one end of the canyon, there's that big dam. And the sign said, "In case of flood, climb to higher ground." I told Sharon, "That's what we need to do. If it floods, remind me." You know, climb up the side of that canyon. You know, and it's climbable. You know, it's not so steep that you can't climb. It's not so sheer. So I just thought, you know, really? We have to tell people? I know, 3 times. Right after we were there. 72, did you say, Bud? Yeah, because we were there in 71. I think that's when we figured out we were there. But I just thought that kind of silly. But, you know, we got to be warned about everything these days. You know, do not put a plastic bag over your head. Oh, man, I was going to do that, you know. But, you know, Paul is having to warn them, folks. And it was true then, and it's true today. And what we just covered with you in verse number 18, I think would show the kinds of people that might be easy targets. So what's the key to not being an easy target? I think we've alluded to it already. Know your Bible. The Bible's the final authority. Know your Bible. People that know and trust their Bibles are not going to be led astray. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." We're talking about doctrine, talking about Bible doctrine. That's what he's talking about, Bible doctrine. If it's contrary to the doctrine, they're leading you astray. And I emphasize in our new members class that being a part of a true Bible-believing church is to your benefit, because I can't lead you astray. You know, because you know that the Bible is the final authority here. And if I start teaching something off the wall, you know, you're going to get rid of me, as you should. And you're not going to be led astray. I mean, I got to believe, you know, remember Jim Jones? How many people followed? How many people died? It was hundreds. Hundreds of people went down to Guyana in South America. I mean, I don't think any people that really knew their Bible and trusted their Bible went down there. You had to be people that were just, you know, maybe had a little bit of Bible knowledge, you know, want to do the right thing. But it's a shame. 2 John 1:10, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Matthew 22:29 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." I'm sure you probably get tired of me emphasizing all the time, and sometimes I'm even self-conscious of it, the importance of being in church. You know, I talk about it all the time, and I know that people that aren't faithful probably gets under their skin. But my motive is very simple. because you were here tonight, you know Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23 better than those who chose not to be here. Some people can't be here. I understand that. But for those who simply choose not to be at church, they're more vulnerable. And that's the reason I want them here. Because I'm going to do my best to give them the word of God, because I believe it is the power unto salvation. I believe it keeps us from error. In fact, J.C. Ryle, theologian, said this. It's on the screen behind me. What is the best safeguard against false teaching? Beyond all doubt, the regular study of the Word of God with prayer for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Bible was given to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The man who reads it aright will never be allowed greatly to err. It is neglect of the Bible which makes so many a prey to the first false teacher whom they hear. He goes on to say, they would have us believe that they are not learned and do not pretend to have decided opinions. The plain truth is that they are lazy and idle about reading the Bible and do not like the trouble of thinking for themselves. Nothing supplies false prophets with followers so much as a spiritual sloth under a cloak of humility. If we lack the self-discipline to go to church when you should, because yes, you should have your own personal devotions, but it's God that ordained the church that tells us to assemble ourselves together for the preaching, the reading, and the study of the Word of God. That will strengthen. You know, if you miss too many meals, you're going to be physically malnourished. And it can't help but if you miss too many spiritual meals, being either your personal time in God's Word or in God's house, if you miss too much time, you know, you're going to be spiritually malnourished and you're going to be vulnerable to disease. And believers that are malnourished are going to be vulnerable to false teachers. This one guy said, I once heard a pastor ask his congregation, what's the best way to spot counterfeits? Do you study as many counterfeits as you can, or do you study the real thing? And of course, the answer is the real thing. There will always be counterfeits, and new ones will pop up every day. But while counterfeits may change, Scripture stays the same. You're to be commended. Those of you that are faithful in Sunday school, those of you that are faithful Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night, and have your own personal devotions. Sometimes our flesh will try to trip us up and make us want to stay home or not take the time to in the mornings or evenings to do our devotions. But for those of you that do, you're doing yourself a great favor. You are the people that know God's word are the least vulnerable to being led astray. And when you're led astray from the truth of God's word, who knows where that's going to go? It's going to go bad. How bad it goes, who knows? So let's conclude again, Colossians 2:18, where we focus tonight. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't be led astray. Any error that depreciates our estimate of Christ and interrupts the advance of our Christian life is a robbery. I commend to you as your pastor, to the best of my ability, I will do my best to stay true to this Bible and give you clear understanding of what it says, what it means, and how it applies to you. I realize some passages are complex, some passages are deep, and where they are so, I will tell you so. But where they are clear, and most are, I promise to you, I will be clear. And trust that the Lord will use that to be a blessing to your spiritual growth. And by the way, my spiritual growth. I mean, when I'm preparing for you, trust me. The Lord is working on me. Who was I talking to about that? Oh, at Jeremy's church. I preached at Liberty Baptist Church. And they have, like Bob and Tim, and Brother James, they have a layman in the church that teaches the adult Sunday school class. And I think he's the superintendent of a public school in a neighboring town. And he was there 3 years ago, And I was, when we were there last week, I said, I always enjoy your Sunday school class. And I said, how long have you been teaching? I forget how long you've been teaching a Sunday school class. But, you know, public school superintendent of schools somewhere. And I said, you know, I said, one of the great blessings of teaching a Sunday school class is what the Lord does in your heart and the preparation. Brother Bob, I appreciate that. And he amen. He said, oh, yeah. He said, the Lord works on me before it gets to the people. But God's word, we need to love it. We need to learn it. We need to live it. And God will bless you for that. And we don't want anybody, we don't want anybody to be led astray by false prophets. And go back to verse number 18. If you're vulnerable, if you're susceptible to, you know, emotional appeals, you know, if you're susceptible to, you know, the supernatural, and there are people like that, you know, or susceptible to worship of angels, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, be careful. Be very cautious. Make sure you're in God's word regularly, daily, certainly in the Lord's house.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.